Good afternoon, everybody. Okay, I'm going to give a little bit of background on the evolution of opioid use. The earliest mention was about 3400 BC when the opium poppy was first cultivated in Southwest Asia. And around 200 to 300 BC, the Silk Road emerged as a series of interconnected trade routes between Europe and China. By the late Middle Ages, these routes extended from Italy to China and north up to Scandinavia, and opium was one of the major products traded along that Silk Road. And then later on, to fund the desire for Chinese-produced tea, the British West Indian Company began smuggling Indian opium to China, resulting in a huge addiction rate among the Chinese. And then later, when the Chinese came to the U.S. to work on the railroads and in the gold mines, they brought opium with them. And that resulted in the establishment of opium dens, initially in Chinatown in San Francisco, and then they spread eastward to New York. And around 1874, heroin was first synthesized from morphine in our wonderful Bayer Aspirin Company. Back then, the Bayer Company of Germany introduced heroin as a medication in 1898. By 1903, heroin abuse had become epidemic in the United States, and all heroin was banned by federal law in the U.S. in 1924. And we've also had deaths of some great rising star people. Charlie Parker was a heroin addict, and he didn't die from an overdose, but he was a heroin addict and it contributed to it. And he died in 1955 at age 34, and he was in such bad shape the coroner initially estimated his age at 50 to 60 years old. And then, of course, Janis Joplin died at age 27 in 1970. And then by around the 1990s into the early 2000s, of course, we all know prescription opioids became a predominant problem. And then state and national efforts were being taken to control this, and heroin resurged as in popularity. And then to the current situation, heroin and wholesalers and retailers are intensely competing for business, and stronger potencies of heroin have emerged along with adulterants, including fentanyl, and as fentanyl becomes controlled, analogs continue to be produced, contributing to it. This is kind of a background for why I wanted to approach this study. This is an MMWR article that I authored with Len Palazzi from the CDC and a couple of other people back in 2014. And it was a look at the trend in Florida substance use or deaths, looking at medical examiner data and up to 2012, and in relationship to efforts that had been taken by the Florida legislature and law enforcement to control the prescription drug problem. And the top line there is an overall aggregate measure of all substances measured by the medical examiner's office, except alcohol and cannabis, I think, too. And you see, that began coming down in 2010. The next line is all prescription drugs. That obviously was a major contributor to the all substances. The next line below that is all prescription opioids or opioid analgesics, and that was a major contributor to the all prescription drugs. And then a line below that, the dotted one toward the bottom, is oxycodone, and that obviously was a main contributor to the opioids. And then below that is alprazolam, that also was sold in our pill mills in Florida for a long time, and that began going down at the same time that the prescription opioids did. And then we took the top three aggregate measures out and looked at it in an expanded y-axis. And the vertical lines on this are various law enforcement and regulatory actions that were taken by Florida, so you could kind of look at the changes over time. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but looking at this, you can see that the two red circles on the bottom mark morphine and heroin began to increase as the other ones came down. But we did not look at fentanyl at that point in time. And so I wanted to expand this a little bit further and see what role fentanyl played in it. So I used the Florida Medical Examiner's Commission data, the same data we used in that MMWR. That data contains 44 specific categories of drugs, including 12 opioids. And the medical examiners are required for each death to indicate whether they deemed that the substance, each of the substances, was a cause of death or was merely present. For purposes of this presentation, I only looked at those that were a cause of deaths from the medical examiner's data. And then in, excuse me, in 2015, the medical examiners were asked to voluntarily record or test for fentanyl analogs and look at which were the most predominant. And in 2016, that became mandatory, so all of them will be looking now. As we've heard this weekend, there are several analogs that are still recorded as fentanyl that just can't be determined if they're analogs. So this isn't a real pure look at it. But these are the categories of opioids that are looked at by the medical examiner in Florida and tested for. And I won't go into all of those. In addition to the medical examiner data, I used the DEA data from the 2016 and 2015, actually, National Drug Threat Assessment Summary, and from the National Drug Early Warning System reports. And that's a great website, great source of information, too. And the three main substances I'm interested in are the heroin, fentanyl, and morphine are on the bottom. And then the top one is the aggregation of all of the other substances, all of the other opioids we look for. And as you can see from, just like the previous slide I showed, it extends it to 2015 here from 2012. From 2010 to 2014, there was a continuing decrease in prescription opioids or non-heroin opioid deaths. And then it leveled off between 2014 and 2015. Whereas heroin, fentanyl, and morphine all increased. Now, the reason for morphine, as has been discussed several times at this meeting over the last several years, is an awful lot of those morphine cases are actually heroin metabolized. And I think it's real important to look at, I mean, prescription morphine on the street is pretty rare. And so I think a pretty large percentage of that is heroin, so it's important to look at that. And then if we take away that aggregated thing and get a better look at the blown up thing picture. We can see from 2007 to 2010 for all three substances, it's relatively flat, and then it shoots up to 2015 to 4.51, 3.69, 3.55 deaths per 100,000 that are deemed to have been caused by each of these substances. And because of multi-substance use, these categories are not mutually exclusive. But I looked at this and I thought, you know, I think the best way to look at this is to take the averages for each of the three from 2007 to 2010 and then compare it to the 2015 results. As you can see, there was a 675% increase in heroin-caused deaths, a 480% increase in fentanyl-caused deaths, and a 200% increase in morphine-caused deaths. So I wanted to kind of characterize those fentanyl deaths by looking at the changes in deaths by fentanyl alone with no other drugs. I excluded alcohol and marijuana, so that they might have been in there with also having alcohol or marijuana in their system, but none of the other drugs. And then fentanyl as a cause of death in combination with other drugs that were reported as a cause. Because of recent reports of fentanyl being mixed with heroin on the rise, I added cocaine into the mix to look at. And then I'll take a look at which fentanyl and which specific analogs are contributing to the fentanyl-caused deaths. And as you can see here, in between 2010 and 2012, about 45% of all fentanyl deaths had no other drugs involved. But from 2013 to 2015, there was about a 33%, about a third of a decrease, down to about 30% of fentanyl deaths had no other substances involved. And here's where I took one of the previous slides, and I just added cocaine in. And you can see that cocaine decreased to 2009, and then the number of deaths caused by cocaine relatively stable until 2012, And I would propose that the increase from 2012 to 2015 is largely due to cocaine mixed with fentanyl. If we look at the, now this is the percent of all fentanyl-caused deaths that are also caused by heroin, morphine, or cocaine. You can see that there was only 0 to 2% of the fentanyl-caused deaths also had heroin, morphine, or cocaine as a causal substance from 2010 to 2012. In fact, there was zero heroin. But by 2015, it had raised to 24% of the fentanyl-caused deaths also had heroin listed as a cause. 23% also had cocaine listed as a cause, and 19% also had morphine listed as a cause. Again, these are not mutually exclusive, and one thing in my bucket list is to go back and look at, dig into this in more detail. And then when I looked at this is a 2015 where medical examiners voluntarily reported what analogs were being found. Only 96 were reported in the total. So it's not a huge sample, but 65% were acetyl fentanyl, 13% were butyryl fentanyl, and 22% if anybody knows what this, when it gets a, after I finish, please let me know what this beta hydroxythiophentanyl is, because, and that was 22%, because it disappeared. Just a week and a half ago, so this is very new stuff, the medical examiner came up with their interim report. So this is 2016 for January to June, and this is mandatory testing for all of the medical examiners for the first time. You can see acetylfentanyl is still 57% of all the fentanyl analogs found, but butyryl fentanyl as a portion is reduced to 4.6% now. And like I said, that other substance disappeared. And then furanyl fentanyl and the 4-ANPP are about 17% apiece. One interesting thing on this slide to me was carfentanyl is 2.5% in the first half of last year. I suspect when the full report comes out, that'll be up between 5 and 10%. Maybe more, but I think it'll be up there. And, okay, so what are the sources in the United States of heroin and fentanyl? This is from DEA data, and this is wholesale-level heroin seizures in the United States. And you can see from the 80s until the early 90s, Asian sources predominated, Southeast and Southwestern Asia. Mexico was there, but it was declining throughout the mid-90s. However, in the mid-90s until now, South American heroin has dominated until recently, and Mexicans increasing again. To the last decade or so, it's almost all South American and Mexican at the wholesale level. And you can look at the coastal differences is phenomenal. This is for street purchases from 1999 to 2004. On the East Coast, there's very little Mexican. It's almost all South American. And the black is unknown, so there's a little bit of unknown in there. But virtually none from Asia anymore. A little bit from Southwest, but not much. And in Western United States, it's a total opposite picture. It's almost all Mexican heroin, with a little bit of unknown, but virtually none from South America in the last several years. So where does the fentanyl come from? China. Virtually all of it comes from China. The blue lines are fentanyls in various forms, and the red are precursors. And either way, they're either coming directly to the United States, or to Canada and then into the United States, or to Mexico and into the United States. It's almost a single source. However, from American pressure, the Chinese have begun to start banning some substances and putting controls on it. Several years ago, they banned ecstasy, methadone, and GHB, and we have definitely seen an increase in that, or a decrease in the last few years. In October 2015, they banned 116 specific synthetic drugs, including notably Flaca, fentanyl, and several fentanyl analogs. Excuse me. The flaca reduction has been pretty noticeable. So that ban supposedly, theoretically, helped. But the fentanyl analogs that were banned are very specific, so they're changing to different analogs. And just this March, a couple of months ago, after I submitted my abstract, actually, they banned carfentanil, furanyl fentanyl, acrofentanil, and valerol fentanyl, so four more of them. And watching the carfentanil is going to be really interesting to see what happens, and hopefully this will have an impact. So, in conclusion, the prescription opioid deaths have decreased since 2010, but the opioid epidemic hasn't ended. It has only evolved. Demand for heroin has increased. Fentanyl analogs have become a primary cause of opioid deaths and a growing cause of cocaine deaths. And increased public education, harm reduction are absolutely critical to battle this epidemic. And questions?
Hi, thank you for your presentation. I'm intrigued by this mandated fentanyl testing. My question is, Florida exclusively a medical examiner state, or do you guys have coroners as well?
Exclusively medical examiner.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That was really good. So my question to you is, do you know anything about any particular opioids that might be coming out of Russia? I mean, that dihydrobutyl, I mean, I don't know if that may be...
It disappeared from 2015.
It might be a Russian product. I don't know, Do you know anything about if there's any data as related to any products might be coming through Russia?
Not that I've come across. No. I guess there's an advantage to being last.
Yeah. Let's give everyone a round of applause.